Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program. Good to have you tuned in, and we're proud to have you tuned in. It has been an interesting week, hasn't it? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we are here to talk gardening for the next almost 1 hour. I hope you'll pick up the phone and give me a call. It's really very simple. I'll give you the number in just a moment, waiting for everybody to get in place. A lot of jockeying going on with manpower this morning, I think. I'm just not sure where people are, so I will await the thumbs up, and when I get that, then we will give you the phone number and get the program underway. I have plenty I can talk about, believe me. The watershed moment of springtime for most of Texas has arrived. It is the time when we need to switch over from what we do in the wintertime to what we do as we move on into spring. Lawns are greening or have greened up in South Texas. Spring flowering shrubs are blooming or have finished blooming in South Texas. Transplanting season is over or soon will be in far North Texas. It's time to fertilize a lot of plants. It is a little bit early in far North Texas. It's just a lot of things. It would help more if I could answer your specific question than speak in these vague generalities. Let me begin by talking about tomatoes, because that will impact almost everybody listening. If you are in Texas, and you must be or you wouldn't be listening to this, you need to concentrate on small and mid-sized tomatoes. I understand that you want a tomato that just flops out both sides of your gigantic hamburger. I get that. I know. And especially if you have come here from a climate of the West Coast or the Midwest or the Northeast or the Northwest, places where those gigantic tomatoes are commonplace and flavorful and wonderful and productive. I get that. But here's what you need to understand. There is a physiological connection between the varieties that have very large fruit and how well they will set when the temperature gets up into the 90s. That is a check that goes together. If I have a large fruit, I'm a tomato plant. If I have a large fruit, I'm going to punt early when it starts to get hot. I'm not going to set very many fruit. Big boy and beefsteak tomatoes, not going to do well in Texas, because it gets hot and they quit producing. They'll do a little better in East Texas because it is not quite as hot. They'll do well in Northwest Texas where the evenings are cooler. They'll do better. I won't say they'll do as well as they will in Wisconsin in the short growing season they have. But they don't do well in the sweltering heat of most of Texas. Stay away from the large fruiting tomatoes. That's point one when you buy your varieties. They shouldn't be sold, but that's, you know, you can't tell people when they're, we are all bullheaded when we go in and we say, I want a screaming bright red sweater. And they say, sir, you are going to look awful in a screaming bright red sweater. And by the way, do you know that you are at Baylor? I'm trying to think of a place where a screaming bright red sweater wouldn't look appropriate. And yet we have our minds made up. We're just bullheaded and as a species. And so we want these large fruiting tomatoes. And if we can't buy it here, I'm going to go down the street and buy it down there. They have. Okay, whatever. And so as a result, places do still sell them. But you shouldn't buy them. And if you quit buying them, then they'll quit selling them. It may rest on the consumer's shoulders. All right, so that's one thing. Second thing is you want to stay with the small and mid-sized fruit. There are lots of varieties that at maturity, when the fruit is full-sized, it will be tennis ball size or smaller. And that's adequate, for gosh sakes. There are plenty of great flavored varieties that are tennis ball size and smaller. And then you get down to the cherry tomatoes, and those things will set way into the summer. That's where you want to concentrate, so stay with those. And forget the heirloom tomatoes. If you want to experiment with one or two of them, I'm talking about the small and mid-sized ones. Give up on the big ones. Keep driving that home. If you want to try some of the heirloom smaller ones, do it, but you're going to find pretty quickly that they're not as productive as the hybrid tomato varieties. So that's our tomato beginning as we kind of get ready to give the phone numbers. So kind of looking for a sign from my producer that he is back in that studio. He's had to juggle because it's filling for two people, I believe, and I don't have that sign yet. I'm going to take a chance. If the phone rings and you don't get an answer, doing all we can. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Let it ring. If it rings, let it ring. Enjoy those bells. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my book. My book's on sale. It's a good deal for you. It's only $34.95. That is the price of just a couple of plants at the nursery. And if you buy a couple of plants that you shouldn't have bought because the book said those things don't do well in Texas, then you've paid for the book right there. I think this book will pay for itself by the end of June, and then you'll have it forever. That's a good deal. I worked a year to write this book. It has 344 pages, 840 of my photographs, and it is printed on high-quality paper, a hardback, printed in Texas. I went to all the press checks to make sure that the colors of all of those photographs are pure and correct and representative of the plants that I was photographing. It's all there for you. Chapter one is the basics of gardening in Texas. Things you have to know that apply to all of the chapters on soils, on climate, things like that. Chapter two is a 48-page calendar. It tells you when you should plant, prune, fertilize, and protect all the plants that you're growing in your landscape and garden. Then chapters 3 through 11 cover trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. All of that information. It's a huge amount. I have never put so much work or information into a book. Now, this book is not in stores and it's not on Amazon. Reason for that, I wanted to be able to sign your copy as I sell it. And so I do all the signing and all the boxing and take them to the post office. This is a small business venture, my own personal venture. I hired my editor, Carolyn Skye. I hired my graphic designer, Cindy Smith, because I knew they were both the best there is. And I'd worked with both of them for more than 20 years each. So there you go. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, not the book with the cowboy boots on the cover. That book was last touched in 1992. This is much more up to date. I hope you'll get it. The book with the Adirondack chair in the cover. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, not on Amazon, not in stores. You get it by going to my website and ordering it there at neilsperry.com. You can also call my office, weekday business hours, 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. The better way, though, is to get it at Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Satisfaction guaranteed, only $34.95. If you are looking for professional help, reliable help at a nursery near you, you need to be looking at a full-time nursery, one that is a member of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. Go to the best, the experts. That's where they work. These are the people who sell the best plants, have the best products, and give the best service that any industry can possibly provide. They have the Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals. Shop where you see those name badges and those emblems. Those are men and women who have studied long hours and passed difficult exams that prove their prowess in all aspects of horticulture. They're full-time nursery professionals. Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll be back with more after this message. Neil is not going to his first call because he doesn't have his first call. I waited too long to give the number. Let's change that. So if you're in Amarillo or College Station, if you're in Corpus Christi, Victoria, or in Crockett or Madisonville or any of the big country cities, has some family members who were driving through the big country the other night, and actually our son and two of his kids climbed Guadalupe Peak 6 days ago, and they said, "You have any idea how many stars there are out there at night? There was no moonlight." And they said, "Oh my gosh." And when they came down, I guess I'm giving away secrets here, when they came down by their phone flashlights, the last half hour or so. And they said, basically, since the phone flashlights were running down, we came down by starlight. Golly. Leave a little earlier. They said it was so beautiful. And I'm still trying to get them to go into Brewster County, Jeff Davis County. I'll accomplish that one of these days. Those are beautiful parts of Texas. Oh, my goodness. So the number, phone number, 888-256-1080. Call right now. If you're in any of those areas, broadcast to 33 markets, and love to hear from you right now. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. We're live, and we'll be live up until just a little before noon today. It is cool, but it's not endangering the tender vegetation that we have. I'll tell you can buy yourself several degrees of frost protection and even cool protection by having frost cloth. I saw something, I learned it from Dr. Jerry Parsons and David Rodriguez with the Bexar County Extension Office. It's been 10 or 15 years ago. They had their tomato cages wrapped in the wire cages, and then they had them wrapped with frost cloth all the way to the top, and they made a chimney out of the frost cloth and left it on way into the spring. They would open it up to let them vent, but it kept aphids out and a lot of other insects, and it gave them, even in the 60 degree weather, it gave them about 6 or 8 or 10 degrees more warmth, and the plants really flourished in there. It's not just for cold weather, it was for cool and beginnings of slightly warm weather, so that was nice. We go to a corporate, we're going to go from one end of Texas to the other on the first two calls. Sherry is in Corpus Christi. Sherry, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I bought gladiola bulbs, but I was told that they would not grow in Corpus. Is that true?
Well, I haven't tried them. I've not lived in Corpus Christi. They are not going to be terrifically fulfilling, I don't think, for you. They will,
no.
If they do well, you'll need to plant them in raised beds with good drainage, and you'll need to put stakes in right alongside them as you plant them, because they will blow over easily in your constant winds. They bloom and then they're done. And like I say, they have a kind of a short productive life. That's why a lot of us don't grow them very much. But they're lovely when they are there. I think they're probably better to be bought at the store and concentrate on growing things that give you more color for longer.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't worry about planting those then.
Well, if you have them, I'd plant them. But do plant them high so that you get good drainage for those times that you do get a good bit of rain, and stake them so that, because you plant them rather, I'm not sure that this passes spell check in my computer, shallowly. It's hard to say, too. It's a bad word. Don't plant them too deeply. And therefore, because they have those big flat bladed leaves, you're going to need to have stakes right away. Otherwise, if you're anything like I am, Sherry, you try to put a stake in later, you're going to go right through that corm, that bulb, with a stake.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't want to rain on your parade here. That's not a friendly thing to do.
But you're not running.
I think you'll find other things.
Planted in the fall, like tulips and and the
They're planted now. They're spring and early summer bloomers. You plant them
spring
now.
And summer. Okay, so it's good to plant them now.
Right now, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
I hope they surprise me, and I hope they thrill you. I hope I'm slightly wrong on my answer to you.
I hope they do too. All right. Thank you.
You betcha. Yes. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Margaret on the other side of Texas, to Amarillo. Margaret, this is Neil. How can I help you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I pruned my knockout roses, and they've got these purplish black spots on the stems, and I've never had that before, and I've had these a long time. What is that?
Okay, and the spots are on the stems, not on the leaves.
No, they're on the leaves, is on the stems.
Okay. All right, help me with this
a
little bit.
They were just getting leaves. Getting leaves.
They were just getting leaves. Okay, let me be quiet. Tell me again, you're seeing purple spots on the stems, not on the leaves.
Right.
Okay, and you said they were just getting their leaves out?
Right.
All right. Have you had any, how long have you seen the purple spots?
Just this spring.
All right, but how long? Just the last week or two, or longer than that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see him. I didn't see him last year.
No, I understand that, but in terms of the purple spots that you have seen this spring, did you see them 2 months ago, or have you just seen them in the last week or so on the stems?
I've seen them in the last 3 weeks, I guess.
Okay, that helps.
I think they popped out after we had a snow.
All right, that helps. Have you had any hail that would have hit the stems in those spots, that would have bruised the stems?
No, we really didn't have that much hail last year.
I'm not talking
now,
about last
I did
year.
Have
about
a guy,
in the last 3 weeks.
I did have a guy do my pruning for me last year because I had some surgery. And
right.
I don't
I'm
know
talking
if
about,
he could have given.
Yeah.
I don't know,
Margaret,
if he
I'm talking
the,
about what I'm talking about what has happened in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks. This, if it's black spots on the stems, is this on new growth or on last year's growth?
No. Okay.
Say it again. You there?
Yeah, I am now. Sorry, we're traveling.
Okay, I understand. It's a big state. Is this on last year's stems, or is it on stems from this year, new growth? You don't have much new growth yet, do you?
It's on last year's stems.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure I can help you without seeing them. If you would be willing, I will be happy to take a look at a photograph. I have a very special way for somebody who's bothered to call me to get a photograph to me, an email address. Would you like to try that?
Sure, but I wouldn't be able to do it until later today.
No, I understand that, and I wouldn't be able to look at it while I'm on the air. In fact, it goes to
okay.
the lady who works with
okay.
me. Jared, I can give that address to you. I'm going to ask that you don't hang up as we finish the call. You just stay on hold or stay
okay,
on the
I
line.
Okay, I sure appreciate
he will
that.
Give you, he will give you an email address, and then we can you'll send that to a lady who works with me. And she will get it right to me. I would give
okay.
my address publicly here on the air, Margaret, but I hope you understand. I would get 5 million emails. And I'd never
yes,
get around
I understand
to
that.
It. Yeah, thank you. But I'll let Jared give that to you, and I'll go to a break, and then go to Larry in Madisonville. But I'll get the help back to you, and we'll get you an answer. I just need to see what it looks like. Get me a good, clear photograph. And folks, for
okay.
the rest of you. Who are listening, I will answer this in my eGardens electronic newsletter with the photograph. I'll put it there next Thursday night. And Margaret, if you want to see a printed copy of the answer, I'll send my copy back to you via email. But I also will use it in eGardens for people who are listening and want to see what it was and what the answer was. All you have to do is go to my electronic newsletter. So thank you for calling. I'll get you an answer. I'll figure it out. That's exactly right. Thank you. I heard voices in my ear, and I'm confirming to Jared that he has the right email. So, all right, good deal. Thank you. We'll take a break, and we'll come back to Larry in Madisonville. If you'd like to call, the phone number is, I'll give it to you in a minute. Jared's busy right now. Fertilum is the message of the moment. Fertilum Crabgrass Preventer, and this one is with Dimension. And also has a fertilizer in it, and Dimension is such a good weed killer that does not impact trees, and this is a great one. It does what it's supposed to do. It prevents crabgrass, and hallelujah for that. This is a great time to make that first application of lawn food and to prevent the weeds. Fertilum Crabgrass Preventer plus lawn food contains Dimension to prevent those unsightly weeds like crabgrass and grass burrs from popping up. Also contains a slow-release 20-0-3 fertilizer that will green up your lawn and keep it fed for up to 8 weeks. Apply it now to landscape areas, established lawns, and ornamental turf. Now, it's a little bit late in the southern third of the state to be using the Dimension, so you may just want to go to the Fertilome fertilizers that are for your lawn and ornamental beds in that area. So, but this is a great way in the rest of the state to prevent crabgrass and grass burrs. Soon your lawn will be beautiful and weed-free for up to 4 months. For best results, apply Fertilome Crabgrass Preventer plus lawn food within a few days after mowing, and delay mowing again for a few days after the application, then water it in. No matter where you live, whether it's out west, in the piney woods, along the central Texas area, or along the Red River, wherever it is. Fertilome and high-yield products at your local independently owned feed stores and nurseries will be your best way to go to get great-looking lawns and landscapes and gardens. That's Fertilome, and in this case, it is Fertilome Crabgrass Preventer plus lawn food containing Dimension. Ask for it by name at your local independent retail garden center, hardware store, or feed store. I'll have more after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. Kelly Robinson there, in case you wondered who that is, we now have identified him. 888-256-1080. There's the number, 888-256-1080. Jared Taylor's running the boards, and Jared Taylor's answering phones and screening the calls and dealing with the guests and all of that, the guests on the phone lines. So give us a call, 888-256-1080. Larry is in Madisonville. Larry, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. I want to try to describe a live oak tree that was a couple we have. And I think you'd said the name last year of bur oaks, but not saying that's what these are. But they do stay the heavy foliage with the smaller leaf, stay green in the winter, and they're actually turning, letting go of the leaves right now, I guess, to put on new growth. But
yes,
they put on an extremely heavy acorn crop, I guess you'd call it. And we were able to literally, from these two trees, I bet you feed a couple of hundred birds and some squirrels all winter long. Was wanting to plant some more. We acquired a piece of property that has a abandoned oil field road on it with a couple places where drainage pipes drain under it. It's created a little wetland area, or just a hose water anyhow. Is that, but first off, I don't know what type of oak tree this is, and would that be a wise place to plant something like this in an open field?
Yes, that would be a very wise place. They would appreciate that extra moisture. Any of the oaks that are growing well in the Madisonville area would be oaks that would appreciate moisture. They're going to be, you'll find them growing natively in lower spots down toward the bottoms of hills and down toward creeks and around natural ponds, things like that. It always amazes me when people in real estate development put in 100 homes and they build berms for privacy along the highway, you know, these mounds, and then they put their trees right up on top. You just don't see trees growing right up on top in nature. It's just funny looking.
Well, I would probably be one of the guys.
I digress. I beg your pardon?
I said I'd probably be one of the guys that did that or would try that. But
we were probably not literally
amazed at how many animals were able to feed all winter long on these acorns. And I'm sitting here out on the porch looking at it.
Yeah, they are very popular. We have native pecans and some oaks on our property, and the animals are just all over the place eating them. I get that. I'll explain in a moment, but the only truly evergreen oak that we have is live oak, Quercus virginiana. All the oaks are in the genus Quercus, Q-U-E-R-C-U-S, and then virginiana, like the state of Virginia, is the species, and they hold their leaves 11 and a half months out of the year, and you're correct, this is the time of year that they shed the leaves. We came through Madisonville back... it's been about 6 weeks ago, and in Houston, I'd been down in Houston, and they were already shedding their leaves there, and I think they were beginning to in Huntsville, Madisonville at that point. I'm surprised they would be doing it now. They're doing it now. They've just finished in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in McKinney, where I live, where we live, and so it happens late in the winter, right before the burst of new growth. They're putting on their new growth right now in North Texas. And so
well,
that's
probably what they're
the
doing
they
here.
Behave.
Well, we are
yeah,
between Huntsville and Madisonville.
Yeah, they get that flush of bright green growth in the spring. They're really pretty. They're really ugly as they put the, you know, when they're bare, they look just kind of like a plucked bird when it's molting. Anyway, that's live oaks. You have another species of oak in Madison County that is almost evergreen, and that's water oak, Quercus nigra, N-I-G-R-A. Its leaves will fall in January lots of years, and some years may make it through the winter if it's a mild winter. This year was not a mild winter. We had a couple of cold spells that were pretty bad. But its leaves are a little bit larger, and they have lobes. They have rounded lobes. It's a beautiful tree. Doesn't look anything like a live oak. It would also be a nice oak for you to plant down in the low areas. Water oak, as the name implies, grows around waterways, natively from where
okay.
you are east. I grew up in College Station, and they were plentiful in Brazos County. So those are two good trees, and you're doing the right thing to plant them where you're talking about.
One more question, if I could. On
sure.
Part of our stock tanks where the gullies that had been dammed off to create them will hold some water. And when we cleaned them out several years ago, I didn't create a, I don't know what you'd call it, but they will pond water and then drains off kind of slow. Would that be too wet to plant a tree like that in it? If it would have to stand in water periodically?
You don't want these trees to stand in water for more than, I don't want to put a time on it, that's a dangerous thing to do, but certainly more than a few days, 3 or 4 days. If the water table is at the ground line, at the soil line, or standing above that for a week, that's not a good place for them. You ought to move them
all
up
right.
the slope a little bit.
Gotcha. Neil, I appreciate the information, sir.
You are very welcome. Thanks for the call. It's an interesting call. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I also don't get a chance to talk about water oaks very often, and I like to because it's one of my favorite trees that I'll never get to grow again because they won't grow in alkaline soil. Let me tell you about Neil Spray's Lone Star Gardening. I have photos of those trees, all those trees, plus bur oak and chinkapin oak as well. Those are both river bottom trees. Those are good ones for wet areas. I was not satisfied with the first four books that I had written. I just didn't feel fulfilled with them because the publishers kept putting me on with committees. We want you to meet with these people, those people, and the marketing people wanted me to go to little places here and there and do book signings, and four or five people would come to the book signings because no publicity was given, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, I know a better way to do these things, and to myself and to my wife. And editorial people made changes. You don't cut that list. That's the list that people are asking for all the time. I have been taking questions on the radio for more than 50 years, and I knew what people wanted to have answered, and they were cutting those things out of my books, and they were cutting photos, and just wasn't in each case the books that I wanted. So in this case, I self-published, and I hired Carolyn Skye, who is a senior publications editor for one of the big California universities. She's retired. A dear friend, lives 8 or 10 miles from us. And Cindy Smith, a dear friend who had been working alongside me as graphics designer on several things that we've done, 10 years worth of annual gardening calendars, for example. And the three of us did this book, Neil Sprague's Lone Star Gardening. When you self-publish, you have to pay to have it printed ahead of time, and I did that. I went to all the press checks so I could see the accuracy of the color portrayal. Clear Visions in San Antonio did a beautiful job on all the printings. And it's in the sixth printing now. And this is the book I always wanted to have. I've marked it down to $34.95. You would expect to pay a lot more than that. I did not mark it up to try to gouge people just because I owned the rights to all of it. I didn't go through a publishing house. I didn't put it with distributors. I didn't put it in stores or on Amazon. I sell it right out of my garage, and I mail it to you directly. It's as simple as that. It is a small business project, but I've enjoyed doing it because I get to sign every copy of the book before it mails. I'll be signing this evening. So if you'd like to have a copy, it has 11 chapters to cover every aspect of outdoor landscaping, gardening, fruit, flower, and vegetable gardening for every county in Texas. 840 photos, 344 pages, a hardback printed on high-quality paper, printed in Texas by Texas printers, not in China. I wanted to keep every part of this book here in Texas for every county, as I say. If you'd like to get it for $34.95, a signed copy, satisfaction guaranteed, 86,000 copies sold and not one request for a refund. Here are the two ways you can buy it. You call my office Monday through Friday, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769. But the better way is to order it directly from the website right now, neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. I'll have more after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. Let's go to Tammy in Crockett. Tammy, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
I have St. Augustine grass in most of my yard, but then in other parts I have this really low growing weed type stuff that has stickers on it and seem like they're brown little seed looking things, and I would love to get rid of them.
All right, that does not sound like, and I'm saying this, I just need to have a casual nod, yeah, you're right, kind of a nod. Does not sound okay. Like grass burrs at all then, right?
No, it's not grass birds, but yeah, okay. They're uncomfortable to step on.
Sure, I understand. Help me a little bit to make sure I give you the right answer. Did these germinate and grow over the wintertime? It sounds like they probably did.
They probably did, but several years ago. I mean, they're with us every spring. And then when it gets really hot, it's like it burns them up and they're gone. But
all right. That gives me what I need to know. Right. That gives me what I need to know. You will need to use a pre-emergent granule. Need more than one granule. You need to apply pre-emergent granules in early September. Next this fall, 3 or 4 5 months from now, and that will keep them from germinating. I'm going to give you a suggestion, Tammy, and that is take a generous sample into a farm supply store or a nursery and get them identified, just to make sure that I'm not sending you down the wrong track here. But it sounds to me like this is probably a broadleafed winter weed. Most of the cool season plants that have burrs are broadleaf plants, not grasses like grass burrs or sticker burrs.
Right.
So you would use a product called Gallery.
Gallery.
And it is in, it's in the high yield people. One of my advertisers, I need to point that out to you, have it. I don't know how many other products have Gallery in them now. I don't think very many, if any, but High Yield does. That's one option, and that would be applied the first week of September. The other option is to wait, and I like that option better, but the other option would be toward the end of the fall, maybe in early November or around Thanksgiving, somewhere during November, spray these things when they're still small seedlings with a broadleafed weed killer to kill the plants when they're just getting started, before they ever go to seed, before the winter hits. We do get a chance to kill them at that time, and that goes for clover and dandelions, other broadleaf plants. Try to get rid of them, you know, going into the winter.
Okay.
So those are the two solutions. Right now, there's not much you can do because they're in full seed, and those are the seeds, and you just have to have to wear shoes for a few weeks now.
Yeah, we do, but I was just trying to describe them to you. Okay.
Sure. And you did well. And do you recommend knowing when they grow and when they germinate is the key to it.
Okay. And what about the St. Augustine? Should I do anything for it at this time of the year?
Yes, in Crockett, you could fertilize sometime soon, and you would use a high nitrogen fertilizer that has at least a third of that nitrogen in slow release form. That's a very high quality lawn food. In other soils, I would say all nitrogen fertilizer with a third slow release nitrogen, but in your area, because there's so much sand in East Texas, it's okay to have a little bit of the middle number phosphorus. You just don't want very much, but it's especially the first number is what you're looking for.
You want high nitrogen.
High nitrogen, very high nitrogen, and one third of that nitrogen or so, that's not a precise amount, but somewhere around a third of it being in slow release form. A good full-time nursery or a really well-informed feed store or hardware store will be able to explain that to you and show it to you on the bag.
Okay.
I've got to get one more break in, so I need to run, but hopefully that will help.
Oh, thank you.
You're wonderful. Appreciate your call. Thank you much. All right, let me tell you about my electronic newsletter. It's called eGardens, Neil Sperry's eGardens. You sign up for it at my website. It is free and always will be free. And take a look at it. The most recent issue is always available for you to see at neilsperry.com. Same place you go to buy my book. That's Lone Star Gardening, but this is Neil Sperry's eGardens. Always five stories, featured plant of the week. Also gardening this weekend, where I point out the imminent things you need to get done. And then I answer your questions there as well. And that's at Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com. Click on the eGardens tab. I want to tell you about the certification program of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. This began more than 40 years ago, and I was there on some of the committees early on, and I watched it develop as it began, and I've been talking about it ever since. There are thousands of Texas certified and Texas master certified nursery professionals across this great state. They are the people who can give you the most timely and up-to-date nursery gardening information. They're the people you can turn to and know that their information will be accurate, timely, and reliable. Shop where you see the name badges and the emblems of Texas certified and Texas master certified nursery professionals. That will be at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll be back with more right after this message. All right, we have overlapping music. Such a deal. Jared Taylor, nice job on running the boards and running the program, lining up the calls. To those of you who have listened, I hope you have a wonderful gardening week. The temperatures are great now. This is the time to enjoy the world's greatest hobby. Thank you for listening. Until next week, same time, same station. Have a great one. Happy gardening.